He's going to talk to us this morning on the subject, As I See It. So Dr. Butterfield, would you come please and speak to us this morning?
Thank you and good morning, friends.
Good morning.
You're a happy-looking group this morning. You look like you like each other. Think you do. Why not take a hold of the hand of the one next to you and tell them so? It has been some years since I attended our best college, Layman's Feeling College. But I'm glad to be here this morning. I was invited to speak once or twice before through the years, but I was unable. I was out of the country or someplace, but I wanted to be here and see how you all were getting along and to renew old friendships and reminisce a little bit about the past. But I'm glad to be here today and to join hands and hearts with you in fellowship in the Lord and see our common interest, Northwest College. Talk about the college and its victories, its needs, future. Now this morning I noticed that you have a title for me to speak on, As I See It. Would you be able to bear up under that? You usually see what you're looking for. Some people miss a lot in life because they're not looking for these good things. But we most always have our life tuned in to something we hear or see. We usually make that connection. There was a science proving this point by a morning crowd in a big city that were on their way to work. And they developed certain noises to attract attention, including birds singing and special raucous sounds of an automobile horn and different sounds that they made just to attract attention, but the crowd didn't pay any attention at all. Not to the birds singing or the horns tooting or nothing. They just went on their way. But they experimented by dropping a 50-cent piece on the pavement. And wherever they dropped the 50-cent piece, everybody turned around. Began to reach in their pocket to see if they had dropped it. Their ears were tuned to the sound of money. That's not exactly what we're here for today, but that I like, There are many things, but one thing I like that I'm finding out right now is that Christians usually have awareness. We are aware of things. We're aware of events, aware of the world in which we live, and aware of many things. That belongs to the Christian nature. Many people in the world have such little awareness only to this little world that they're in, running back and forth between home and the work and whatever their little interest is. They have an awareness that is tremendously circumscribed. But Christians have a broad awareness. Christians are interested in what's going on in Israel, which many other people have, couldn't care less what's going on in Israel. But Christians have an awareness of what's going on there. And in various places in the world, we have a kind of an openness to the world about us. And I think that Jesus is very anxious about this, and he made comment about it on some occasion, including one that I think of now, in which he was speaking to the Pharisees, and he said, "You are aware of weather conditions. You know what kind of a day is going to be tomorrow by what you see, but he said, you are not aware of the day in which you live." They had no awareness of the most tremendous thing that ever happened in their life, and that was the appearance of the Messiah before them. Their Creator and Maker stood there. The very God who made them stood before them. They were not aware. And this is true about the people of the world. The most important things of life and being, they have such little awareness of. They have no perception. They do not see. I see things as I travel about the world that impress me. And so I'll speak about that this morning as I see it. My perspective, I think, is sort of a specialist perception, because I am a minister of the gospel, and I try to see things from the standpoint of the Bible and from God's standpoint. And as I look at the world as it is today, what's going on in the world, what is happening, I try to interpret that, these things that I see, through the things that I know about what God has said. Jesus pointed out this philosophically when he said, "When you see these things, which shall come to pass, when you see them, then you shall know that he is at the door." And so the awareness, the necessary awareness that we should have as to what is happening in our world is a wonderful thing for us Christians to have. To have an interest in the world and the things that are taking place as they relate to our relationship with God and to the things that God has told us about that will come to pass in the world. I think that the two most important things that have happened in our lives are these. Reunification of Israel as a nation in 1948. To me, that is one of the most significant things that has happened in our age. And the other one is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is taking place now throughout all the world. We call it the charismatic movement, in which all of the churches, the Christian churches, are being touched by this movement. I consider this one of the outstanding events that has taken place in the world. I was asked to sit on a television panel a couple of years ago, in which the question was asked, what is the most significant thing in the religious world happened? I think it was in 1975. My answer, there were two others on the panel, ministers, one was a Catholic and one was a Lutheran. My answer was, I thought that the most significant thing that is happening is the charismatic movement. And somehow that caught fire with the other two speakers. And it turned the whole conversation in that direction. Now, I have had an opportunity to observe in quite a number of nations what is going on. In a recent trip to South America, I just returned. I think it's been about 81 or 82 nations that I have been in and administered the Word of God. And I've been in all the continents. And I do have a little bit of insight into what's going on in the world. And to me, it is a tremendously phenomenal thing. I never expected in my life to minister to Catholics. In this recent trip, I had an opportunity to be in three different Catholic conferences, just all Catholics. I have never been in a more Pentecostal setting in my life than among these Catholics. I had a built-in prejudice against Catholics from childhood. I couldn't see any good in the system, in the priesthood, or anything else about the Catholics. In fact, years ago, I think it was in 1942, one of my first trips to Central America, we were stoned by a priest-led mob of Catholics. The church we were in was stoned, and some of the people got hurt. Most all of those Catholic countries were so bitter against what they called the evangelicals that many were killed, particularly the nationals were killed. Persecution of all kinds took place. And so I never expected to ever see what to me was the Pentecostal testimony, which I belonged to and was part of my life, such an important part of my life, ever to go beyond the boundaries of the Pentecostal denomination, the Assemblies of God and the other denominations. I never expected ever to see that. But I discovered that God is interested in people more than he is in denominations. And God loves people as such. And I had to bring myself to the point where I saw the Catholics and the Episcopalians and those other groups as people. I didn't always love them. In fact, I came closer to hate, not quite to hate, because I could hardly be a Christian in hate. That was pretty close. I remember when I was enamored, I was on radio, was a brother followed me on the radio that took pains to tear down everything I said. If I talk about the baptism this morning, he would be right on the air following me to tell me that the baptism is not for today. If I talked about speaking in tongues, that was fanaticism. That was crazy. If I talked about healing, healing isn't for today. Anything that I talked about on the radio, he was right there to deny what I said.
I knew him years ago.
I didn't love him. I didn't even like him. But the Lord had to do something for me. I found out that it wasn't him, that it was me that was having the trouble. And in my attitudes toward other groups, other denominations, and other people, I found out that God had to kind of operate on me and help me to look at these people as he looks upon them and to see with his eyes other groups and other people. And he had to tell me that if he loved them, I should love them too, for whatever God loves, we should love. And so I made some tremendous discoveries with the change of attitude that God has given me through the years, that some of the most wonderful people that I have met in recent years, I would hardly associate with before, because they just weren't in my category, were not in my class, were just different. They talk different and all the rest. I've just been entertained in a home in Central America, Honduras, in the home of a Catholic Arab, in a beautiful home, a palatial home. And this man and his wife were born in Honduras, but both he and his wife, their parents were born in Bethlehem, but they were Arabs. And this was a colony. This was a colony on the coast of Honduras in which a bunch of Arabs had migrated from Bethlehem in Palestine into Honduras many years ago. And there were two strikes against them, as far as I was concerned, in my former attitudes, anyhow. One was that they were Catholics, the other that they were Arabs. Well, there are two groups that I'm for, the Jews and the Protestants. But here we were in a home, a palatial home, very wealthy people. And the way they waited on us, meals that their servants prepared for us, gifts they gave us, what they did for us, it was absolutely beautiful. And my friends, I would like to say that all over the world today, we are seeing God do something in the hearts of people that absolutely staggers my imagination. When I was in Everett a few years ago, my chief antagonist there was an Episcopalian minister. He was the rector of the Episcopalian Church. He was a little guy. I had contempt for him. He had a sneer on his face continually when he was had anything to do with Pentecostal people. And I absolutely knew that God Almighty would never, ever stoop to baptize an Episcopalian. I certainly knew I was if I was God, and I didn't know you. But here is a marvelous thing that God is doing in the world today. And he has a purpose behind what he's doing. Now the devil is pouring out his spirit on all flesh also. And we are aware enough of what is taking place in the world to know that iniquity is abounding. The Bible says it is abounding. And wicked men are waxing worse and worse. There's all kinds of iniquity, filth, corruption, wickedness on every hand, in every aspect of life, every occupation, every calling, no matter what it is. You see the influx of Satan's malicious power. But God's word says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And so we see these two great forces in the world today, amplified by the age in which we live, that's nearing the end time. And God is touching people's lives, different individuals and people that I never would dream of would ever happen. A few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I was in a full gospel businessman meeting. I'd been asked to speak in the meeting. And I met a young woman there. She wasn't young then. She's about my age. But she was a young woman when I knew her. And she was about the most frivolous thing that ever walked on spike heels. I knew her before I became a Christian. The crowd I went with used to go to dances together. And she was about as flaky and frivolous a creature as I had ever met. I brought her home with me one time, and my folks were kind of marginal Christian, not really religious, but I introduced her to my folks, and after she was gone, my folks told me never to bring her back in the house again. This was the woman that came to me close to at this meeting. She came up toward me, I thought, where have I ever seen her before? And it was this frivolous young thing. She said, Brother Butterville, she said, the Lord has saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I didn't think that God was capable of that. The Lord is reaching people in high places these days. Now, the old philosophy of the Pentecostal movement was that God was only interested in the poor, the down and outers. And we have been pretty much in our program to the down and out people of the world. I know our missionary program has been directed that way for many years. Most all of our missionary activity. I found this out when I first became interested in missionary work. Our work started always was in the mountain villages rather than in the cities where the professional people, the business people were. But now it seems that God is moving, there's a special movement among professional people, among people that you can call classes of people, but you find the classes, particularly in the Latin American countries, more distinct than you find them here. But there is a definite move of God among the professional people and among the well-to-do people, among the high-class people of these Latin American countries. And they are beautiful people when God gets a hold of them. Believe me, there is a culture among them that once God, the Spirit of God, moves into that culture, you find something that's really beautiful. And they are so hospitable and so wonderful to work with and so precious. I never expected to be in the National Theater for meetings. But when I was just recently in Tegucigalpa, we had our meetings in the Opera House, the National Theater of the country. And it was because of this higher class people that the Spirit of God was reaching them. So that my congregation in that Opera House was practically all Catholic people. And it was beautiful the way those people were worshiping God. Now, among this newer move of the Spirit of God, you find a tremendous intensity of worship and love. These people love each other. Now, when I say charismatic, I am not making any distinction whatsoever between these people and the Pentecostal people of the present. The Assembly of God movement is a charismatic movement. And the Assembly of God people are charismatic people, if you want to use the proper use of the term. In fact, I think that the yearbook of our college here is the charisma, it used to be anyway. In which means that we believe in the gift of the Spirit. We believe in the move of the Spirit. We believe in the operation of the Spirit. And there are some, I think, in organized Pentecostal churches who would feel that there is a distinction between this charismatic movement that's going on in the world and the organized Pentecostal denominations or groups. This distinction is only man-made. God makes no distinction whatsoever. And so all over the world today, one of the strongest religious movements in the world today is the charismatic movement, which includes our movement, which includes us. And I just picked up a magazine called the Latin American Evangelist. It is a publication that is printed by evangelical societies that are working in the Latin American countries. It's not Pentecostal. In fact, they have been Pentecostal fighters for years. But in this article, in this magazine, it said the title of the article was "The Charismatics Are Here to Stay." And the writer of this article went on to describe how these people with a Pentecostal testimony are sweeping the world, and that there's absolutely nothing that can stop them. They tried to, but they were absolutely swamped because the movement of the Spirit of God was so strong, and it describes the way they worship, and the type of meeting, the congregational participation in the meetings, and give a vivid description of a Pentecostal meeting. When I was in Rio just recently, in Brazil, they told me that they have 90,000 75 people in that one city alone. 90,000. I'm not talking about other group, charismatic groups, but the Assemblies of God have 90,000. There are millions of Pentecostal believers in Brazil. And it is the strongest Protestant movement in the nation. In fact, the Pentecostal people outnumber all other denominations put together in Brazil. Now, we Pentecostal folks used to be a pretty small crowd on the face of the earth. But I'll tell you, from what I have seen all over the world, this Pentecostal movement, this sweep of the Spirit of God, this charismatic renewal of the church by the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that has ever happened in the world. Do you know that there are more Spirit-filled people living today than all of the Spirit-filled people who have ever lived in the history of the church, almost 2,000 years? And you can take all of the Spirit-baptized people from the days of the apostles up until 1950, all together for almost two millenniums, and there wouldn't be as many as there are people baptized with the Holy Spirit that are living right today. As I see it, friends, this is a tremendous move of God. I'm glad I belong to it. Praise God forevermore. This is something very important that God is doing in the world. And he has something very special in mind in doing it. He is not baptizing folks just to make them feel good, or so they will speak in other tongues. But he is sealing them with the Holy Ghost. And once God seals somebody with the Holy Ghost, the seal, of course, you know what the meaning of a biblical seal is. It's the sign and mark of ownership. Once God seals somebody with his seal, it is the sign of ownership. God is placing his seal of ownership upon thousands and millions of people in the world today. Against the day when the Antichrist will be wanting to put his seal of ownership on people. And so we have Satan's seal of ownership. And once a person takes the mark of the beast, it is a mark of ownership that is forever. No one shall ever reveal a deed who has taken the mark of the beast, the scripture says. But God also is putting his seal on people in these last days. So there is a great last conflict emerging between the Spirit of God and the spirit of the devil. There are some who honestly believe that in the communist countries there are no believers or no spirit-filled people. But I would like to say that there's no iron curtain that can keep the move of the Spirit of God out. And I have been in all of the communist countries in Europe, with the exception of Albania, a very small country on the coast of Yugoslavia. But all of the other communist countries in Europe I've been in, including Russia, Poland, all of them. And in all of these nations that I have been in, there are believers just like they are in this room this morning, who are spirit-filled believers. And in spite of the antagonisms of the government, of the educational system, of the military, and all of the rest of it, there are thousands and thousands of people who have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and who are being baptized with the Holy Ghost. I was told before I went to some of the common country that you have to dig underground to find a Christian someplace. You have to be acquainted with the underground. But I didn't find that in any of the common countries. What was taking place was above ground and known by the government. Last time I was in Romania, Bucharest, which is the capital. And they have certain designated times when they can hold meetings in Romania. They have meetings between 10 o'clock in the morning and 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. It lasts, their morning worship lasts for 4 hours. And the crowd is there. I spoke in 3 churches in Bucharest the same Sunday morning. They took me by automobile from one to another. I spoke in one, then they carried me over to another. And in every case, in each church, they could hardly get me into the church because of the crowd. It wasn't because I was there, of course, because they can't make announcements of meetings or anybody who's going to speak. No such thing as propaganda. But the propaganda is just a mouth-to-mouth encouragement of one another. In the last meeting that I was in, they could hardly get me on the platform. The people standing, the aisles, like an aisle like this, just jammed full of people standing. Only a few people get to sit down. And it was winter, and on the outside of the church, they left the windows open in the winter. And there was snow on the ground. I think there was some 300 or more people standing on the outside trying to hear what was going on through the open windows. This is the communist country. And I saw, that's what I'm talking about this morning, is what I see. I saw God in operation doing something in the world today that is absolutely historic. There's no record of what is going on in history, what is going on in the world today, the move of God. Now where does that fit into the layman's council picture? I see my time is gone, and so I'll just make one statement here, and that's this. That in the light of what's going on, where young people are being baptized with the Holy Ghost in a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, and Episcopalian, and all of these denominations, including the old-fashioned holiness movements, which fought us so hard for so many years, that the opportunity that are before us here at the Northwest College are absolutely tremendous. To have a program of training to meet the challenge that is before us, so that I believe that the last chapters of the history of Northwest College can be more dramatic and more fruitful than all of the years four combined together. We will catch the spirit of the age in which we live, know what God is doing in the world, and open our minds and our hearts to the hungry and the needy who need the word of God, those that God has touched in the world. We will have an institution here that's more than an institution. It will be what it has always been, a place that is blessed of God, but even to a greater degree than ever before. They tell me that many colleges are going out of business. just a recent statement by a Harvard analyst of the educational systems of America. He said that by 1990, that one-third to one-half of all private colleges will be closed. He goes on at great length, giving his reasons for the whole thing. That's not going to happen at Northwest College. We will meet God's challenge. We can only expect growth and blessing and fruitfulness to continue here, this institution of God.